Good afternoon, folks. My name is Abhishek Agrawal, and I'm a lead program manager for the Azure Site Recovery team. For this session, I'll have my colleague Hector Linares. He's a principal PM on the Virtual Machine Manager team. Join me. And we have Carson Bott from EMC, and Pavel Labanov from NetApp will join us for this session. And we'll talk about some of the new capabilities that we announced earlier this week in Azure Site Recovery and Virtual Machine Manager, and show you the work we've done with our partners of like EMC, NetApp, HP, others, that enables you to do SAN replication-based disaster recovery for your Hyper-V environments. So here's a quick rundown of the agenda that we'll cover over the next hour or so. We'll start by taking a lap around Microsoft's business continuity solutions. If you are at TechEd this week, you'll see a lot of sessions around backup disaster recovery for the Microsoft Cloud, and we'll take a quick lap around that. And then we'll go deep and take a deeper look at the SAN replication integration that we have done with Azure Site Recovery and Virtual Machine Manager. We'll then have our partners from EMC and NetApp come up and show the integration they have done to enable protection and recovery of VMs running on a Hyper-V environment with their solutions. And we'll also talk about the standards-based underpinning on which this entire solution is based. We'll also show you how and when you can get access to these technologies, which will be available very shortly. All right, so let's get started. We've been talking about cloud this week, and as you move into the cloud era, there's an explosion in the amount of data and applications that you'll get deployed on the infrastructure that you manage. And as part of that, you need to provide adequate protection and disaster recovery for those applications and data. But the reality is that the solutions that you have today are complex, require a lot of manual operations, are error-prone, and you really do not have a fully tested disaster recovery solution in place for most of your applications. So as the amount of applications grow, as the amount of data grow, you are incurring more risk in the data centers and the infrastructure that you are managing. So how do you solve that? We believe that you need to have a fully automated and orchestrated solution that works across the infrastructure, your VMs and your applications. It works on your existing technologies that you already might have deployed in your environment, and also scales to new scenarios that you might be bringing into your environments, and enables you to do a fully tested disaster recovery solution, which you can do test failovers on and ensure that your solution actually works before an actual event ever happens, and enables you to manage the cost and the operational efficiency that you need to achieve to run your data center. So if you look at the Microsoft stack across Windows Server, System Center, and Microsoft Azure, we have a great set of technologies that enable you to basically have a good continuum of business continuity solutions. At the very core, we have Windows Server with failover clustering, so you can set up your hosts in a highly available setup. You can deploy guest clustering in the virtual machines that are running on those hosts, for example, for applications like SQL Always On or Exchange Database Availability Groups. You can use System Center Data Protection Manager to do on-site backup, and now you can also extend that to backup your data into Azure. And on the right side, earlier this year, we announced our disaster recovery solution in Azure Site Recovery that enables you to basically protect your virtual machines and replicate it to another location that you are managing. Or in case you do not want to incur the capital expense of a secondary site, you can also replicate those VMs into Azure. And what we will show today is how we are enabling the flexibility to use SAN replication technologies that you might already be using and familiar with to integrate that with the Azure Site Recovery solution. So the focus for this talk is on Azure Site Recovery, and we'll go deeper and take a deeper look at how this enables a very simple integrated experience for managing an automated orchestrated recovery for your applications running in your data center. So for the Azure Site Recovery, this has been a phenomenal year. We started the year in January of this year. We announced the general availability of Azure Site Recovery, which can do site-to-site disaster recovery for Hyper-V VMs, using Hyper-V Replica as a core technology. Early in the year, in the month of July, we acquired a company called InMarge, that gave us capability to protect VMware environments. We do understand that our customers are running heterogeneous environments, and to be a credible business continuity solution, it's not enough just to protect part of it. So we want to basically offer you a solution that can protect any and entire part of your of the infrastructure that you're running already. And earlier this month, in first week of October, we announced the general availability of our disaster recovery to Azure solution. So for customers who do not want to incur the capex of a secondary site, they can now use Azure as their DR site and replicate Hyper-V VMs into Azure. But we received feedback from our customers, our partners, that they already have some solutions already deployed in their environment, and they wanted to be able to have the flexibility to leverage that with Azure Site Recovery. So it gives me great pleasure to announce today that starting November, we will have a public preview of Azure Site Recovery with SAN replication available. And the way the solution would work, as the picture shows, you would have a System Center VMM managing your Hyper-V hosts and your SAN arrays, your favorite SAN arrays. You can use SAN replication to replicate the data between the two sites. And VMM and Azure Site Recovery will provide you fully orchestrated replication management, ability to fail over VMs from one site to another site, recovery plans, and network management. So with that, let me invite my partner Hector Linares up on stage, who will go into the depths of this technology and the standards-based underpinnings on which this is built. Hector.
All right. Thank you, Abhishek, and good afternoon, everyone. So let's double-click on the support for SAN replication in Azure Site Recovery. The assumption with this configuration is that we are failing over from two data centers that your customer that you have under your management. Right now, this is not a hoster or a DR to Azure play. So this is site-to-site replication. We are working with an extensive number of partners that we are leveraging existing relationships on enabling SAN support. We want to make sure that we leverage all of the capabilities in the SAN today, which you're using, in order as part of the solution. So just to make sure that so that you know, the SAN replication piece does not change. Whatever SRDF, MirrorView, or SnapMirror, all of that technology remains. The key piece here is that with VMM and ASR, we're talking about a fully orchestrated solution. The key value proposition here is we've gotten feedback from customers that are deploying VMware today. They've got Site Recovery Manager. You want to start deploying Hyper-V, but you need an SRM equivalent solution. So that's what ASR plus SAN support will give you. We've got customers today that are telling us they have Hyper-V, they want to deploy it for tier one applications, but they need a DR solution. This is where ASR fits in as well. And we've got customers today with custom solutions, homegrown DR solutions that they want to stop investing in homegrown and actually go into a fully orchestrated solution, and this is where ASR fits in. We want to make sure that the right applications have the right disaster recovery that the application needs. And we want to make sure that we leverage the partner integration. So we're doing this in collaboration with eight partners. We're leveraging SMIS and the PlugFest that we attend five times a year to make sure that this integration is solid. So as part of this announcement, gives me great pleasure to show here that we have EMC and NetApp with us today on stage as part of the preview. We also have HP that will be available as part of the November launch. And we're working with additional partners like HDS, Fujitsu, IBM, Dell, and Huawei, who will follow on in the next few months as part of this integration. And so we are working with other partners that I can't disclose right now, but if you have feedback on who we should be working with, what arrays you have in your environment that might not be on this list, please do let us know, and we'll continue working with those partners. So there's two parts of the release. There's the updates to Azure Site Recovery and the updates to the portal. And then as part of VMM updates, we're actually rolling this out with the next update rollup. So update rollup 5 will have this new feature. So this is the first time that we're releasing features as part of an update rollup. And so we're going to release this as a preview in November to UR5, which is scheduled to come out in the first quarter of 2015. So this will be a preview release of UR5 that will have these capabilities. So to provide a refresher on Azure Site Recovery, first, how many of you actually used ASR, are using, or had a chance to test it? Okay. So I'm going to quickly go over the capabilities that are available today using HyperArray Replica, and then we're going to map that to how, what we're doing with SANDR. So with Hyper-V replication or HyperArray Replica, you get to configure endpoints. Oops, you get to configure the endpoints with ASR and VMM. That means configuring all the Hyper-V hosts. There's ability to enable protection for your workloads. You can do a planned failover, unplanned failover, and test failover. So you can do the full DR capabilities from ASR, including doing all the DR drills, and support for site-to-site and site-to-Azure. So keep this picture in mind as we overlay what we're going to do for SANDR. From a topology perspective, we essentially have Azure Site Recovery, Azure Site Recovery Service, and VMM on both sides. So this requires virtual machine manager instances in Site 1 and Site 2. You install a plugin, what's called here a DRA plugin, which connects you up to Azure. That's when you supply the credentials and the vault that you're connected to in ASR. And then on the compute side, we manage all the Hyper-V hosts and all of the replica settings. So this is what we do today with Hyper-V Replica. So once you sign up for the service, you've created your vault, install the plugin, you publish your VMM clouds. So in ASR, you actually manage all the DR capabilities from a VMM cloud perspective, not from a Hyper-V host or from the fabric side, but really from the clouds. So once you publish your clouds, that's when you configure replication between Cloud 1 and Cloud 2. You pair your networks. Basically, when you fail over, you've got to tell ASR, when failover happens, make sure that these VMs are attached to my backup or my my recovery network. Right? On the primary side, they're connected to production. On the recovery, they're connected to your backup network. You pair your classification so we know where to place the VM as part of the replica creation, and then you protect your VMs, and then you can add them to a recovery plan. If you have a complex application, a multi-tier application like SharePoint, you can now have recovery plans that actually allow you to orchestrate the failover of that entire application. So you can be as simple as one virtual machine or a multi-tier application. So taking the same steps for SAN replication, we wanted to make sure that the experience is consistent. We wanted to make sure that the capabilities, we don't regress in capabilities moving into this new world with SANDR. So we've got configuration of endpoints. That essentially means what Hyper-V hosts are hosting your VMs on a primary and what Hyper-V hosts need to host your reserved VMs. You can enable protection for the storage, the LUNs that need to be replicated, and that can include a group of LUNs in a replication group. They're also called consistency groups in the SAN, but that's handled by ASR. And then you have all the capabilities around planned failover, unplanned failover, test failover. Now, like I mentioned before, this is site-to-site DR, and we are in something we're investigating is site-to Azure DR. Now, what that means is essentially having a SAN as part of an ExpressRoute deployment. How many of you are familiar with ExpressRoute or have heard of that technology? Yeah, so if you're familiar with Amazon Direct Connect, it's essentially a partnership with Equinix and other data centers and colo locations. You can actually place your SAN in this Equinix location. It's got a dark fiber link into the Azure backbone, and so you can essentially have Azure IaaS VMs with an iSCSI connection to the SAN. So it's something that we're investigating right now, but we have not actually enabled any of those features yet. So the key piece here is that we want to have a consistent experience. Topology-wise, essentially, the half of this with the Hyper-V hosts, VMM, DRA plugins, and ASR stays the same. And we backfill this with all the SAN capabilities. So the key pieces to point out here is that on the Hyper-V side, if it's an iSCSI LUN or a fiber channel LUN, we use SMAPI to communicate on the host side for all the volumes, disks, and partitions and that are connected to the SAN. And from the management side, we use SMAPI to connect to the SMIS provider, which then talks over the network to the provider that then manages the SAN. So all of the SAN orchestration is handled by VMM and SMAPI. All of the disk and volume automation is handled on the Hyper-V host. So, and VMM is managing this entire site. Okay? VMM does not pair the arrays and does not set up the links between the two sites. That is handled out of band. But for all the automation, that's where you have the VMM and ASR combination. So the key piece to highlight here is what actually changes. So how many of you are using SMIS, or sorry, the storage integration in VMM today with your NetApp, EMC, et cetera? Okay. So let me build this up really quick. For those that have had a chance or have read about it, essentially pairing the arrays is something that's already done outside, out of band. You install a provider. It can be on a Windows machine, or sometimes they're on the SAN device itself. Once you have the provider up and running, you add it to VMM, and then you can start creating your CSVs. That experience stays the same. Nothing changes as part of this integration. The new piece is now you can add those CSVs, or the cluster shared volumes, into a replication group or a consistency group. This is something new in VMM. And then you allocate those replication groups to the cloud. It needs to be added to the cloud, because that actually is how you publish into ASR, and that's how you tell ASR what you want to protect. And then from there, the rest of the experience that I went over before stays the same from an ASR perspective on how you pair your networks and your classification. New piece now is that you have to tell us which pools you want to pair, because we actually handle a lot of the automation on the secondary site. LUN creation, consistency group creation, all of that is enabled as well through ASR as part of your orchestration. And then through ASR, that's how you start the replication. That's a new piece that you would do as part of the setup. And then you create your VM that needs protection, and then you can add your VMs to the recovery plan. So we try to keep, again, the experience consistent, and with minimal changes, we're actually able to, we can enable very powerful scenarios. So I'm going to bring up Carson Bott from EMC, and he's going to show the first part of this integration. Carson?
Am I on? So hello and welcome to the first part of the demonstration. This is actually the long one. Eight? Yeah. Takes a few seconds. Yeah. So once Hector logs in into his SCVMM environment, what we're going to show right now is actually creating a CSV or mapping a CSV to a host and then putting it under protection using Azure Site Recovery Manager. So once you have installed the SMIS providers in SCVMM, our arrays will pop up here. And you see here we have two EMC VMX 40K arrays. They are under management. They are discovered. And you see here we have a pool, disk group 3, that we're currently using in this machine. You could use this on EMC VMX systems, on VNX, or VNXE systems. Before we can start, we need to configure a cluster shared volume for the use with ASR. So the first thing we would normally do is we go into the properties of our cluster. And in our cluster, we go to cluster shared volumes. There are multiple ways to do so. We could create a new volume, or we could use a volume that was already created. So we go on the Add tab, and obviously there's a volume created. It's called TE14 Demo 013. I just go out and format that volume, and it's TEE14. Demo 1030. And I could also, if I don't have one, create a logical unit. I say OK here at this step. What happens now is I would go out. Once I hit OK, and the volume gets masked to my entire cluster, so the volume is made available throughout my entire cluster. And as Hector explained, we would do the SMA API would do the host side management of creating cluster shared volume upon it. Once that's done, I just go out here and quit. Once that is done, I need to create a replication group. So I go back into my arrays tab. I click on my primary array, go onto properties, and what you now see here is new with the version of the CU5. You have those replication groups here. It's new in here, and you see already there are two replication groups created. Right now we go on and create a new replication group, and the replication group is TEE14. Demo 1030, and we are browsing for the LUN that we just added to the cluster. It's the TE Demo 1030, and we said create the replication group. What happens now? It's just a dummy that's created in the database, in the VMM database locally. There's nothing going to be replicated at this point in time. It's just a creation of the replication group. Once we have done this, we just need to add this replication group to our cloud. So we have a cloud here that's called VMMA. We go into the cloud, click onto properties of that cloud, and there's a tab replication groups, and we can add the replication group that we just created, TE demo 1030, to that cloud. So that's so far everything we have to do on the primary VMM. We just have been on the primary VMM. What's up next? We go into our Azure portal, and for those who haven't seen that before, we are in the Azure portal, and there is a tab called Recovery Services, and that allows me to actually create the recovery vaults in my Azure environment. So what I'm going to do here right now is, because we set already up a recovery cloud, there's the possibility right now to set up a new cloud just for demo. We click on that cloud, and we go into the configure protection setting of that new cloud. And we select our target, and target new here is right now the VMM. So we could replicate into Microsoft Azure, but we could also replicate to another VMM on the remote side. And for this, we select a target location, and this is our VMMB, our secondary VMM at the secondary site. And also for the secondary site, I have to select a cloud, because this cloud later on gets resources pre-configured in order to block CPU and memory resources to make a failover later on happen. So what's new in here is you see that SAN button. Hyper-V was already in. We hit on the SAN button, and once we hit on the SAN button, we see, okay, we have on the source side one array, we have on the secondary side array. Those arrays are currently not paired. That's everything that you have to do to pair the arrays. But again, once we did this, there's no replication currently going on. So we hit the save button, and then the nice purple button turns into gray, and everything is configured and paired on that array. The next thing that we would do is just a pairing of the disk resources, of the classifications that we have, or of the pools and groups that we use. So the only thing that needs to be done is we map the gold source and the gold targets to each other, and essentially put the disk groups or the pools together. Once this is done, which is pretty easy, the only thing that we have to do right now, here's the button, Add Replication Group. Down under, we click on Add Replication Group. The only thing that we need to do right now is we select the replication group, and it's the TE14 Demo 1030 that we just created a few minutes ago. We click on it, and it detects the source array, it detects the target array, and the only thing we need to do quite here is select the type of replica. So the array supports for synchronous and asynchronous replication, so we can choose one of them, click on synchronized replication, and then we are done. Once we've done this, pretty easy so far, we go back into our VMM, and we go back into our clouds and say, we want to provision a new virtual machine. So we just click on Create a New Virtual Machine, and the Create Virtual Machine dialog pops up. So I just select, we have a template created that's called TE14 something. Just let me browse. Here's the virtual machine template. I click on OK, click on Next, and I name it TE14 Demo 03. That's my new virtual machine. I click on Next. And now there's something that you need to take care for. You must say, okay, it's a Hyper-V virtual machine that I currently create, and you have to make sure that you select Site Recovery. Click on Enable Site Recovery Protection Plan for this virtual machine, select the replication group, put it into a replication group, replication group, click on Next, click on the deployment wizard to let you decide what cloud it should get in, so it brings you up the rating. If here no star is selected, if everything is grayed out, you potentially forgot to select the replication group, or you selected the wrong replication group that's not assigned with a replication currently. Once I hit the next button, leave this default, I hit the next button, click create, this machine gets created. Not only that it gets created on the remote VMM, I have to jump to the remote VMM. If we go to the remote VMM, there's a placeholder virtual machine sort of container created that blocks CPU resources. Like here, we know we need one CPU when we fail over 512 max of memory in order to make the failover happen. So this is going to be blocked from the cloud resources that we have on the remote side in order to run the replication groups. That's so far. Back to Hector right now. 7 minutes.
Thank you, Carsten. All right, so let's continue going deeper into the configuration of the SAN. So I want to go through the refresher on the investments that we've made so far on VMM storage automation. And really, this was around three main investment pillars, ensuring that if you have a SAN in your environment and you're using Hyper-V and System Center, we want to make sure that you have all the insight into how your Hyper-V servers are configured to the underlying storage. Once we have the insight, we wanted to make sure that we had the flexibility to manage multiple devices, both SAN, NAS, fiber channel switches as well. And so flexibility in device type and also partner ecosystem. And finally, with the insight and the number of partners, we want to make sure we have the right automation, consistent automation across all of our partners, where we can still deliver the value out of the device, but in a consistent experience in System Center. So with those three pillars, we are now at a point where we're starting to invest in some of the key value-add services around monitoring, for example, large-scale provisioning, and now hybrid cloud scenarios. So integration with Azure Site Recovery is the first hybrid cloud scenario that we have that involves VMM, storage automation, and our storage partners. So from an API perspective, how many of you have used Storage Management API, SM API, in Windows? So basically, if you go to the PowerShell command, PowerShell, go to the storage module. So we got one. Okay. So SM API ships in all Windows servers. And this is the API layer, WMI API layer for us, PowerShell, if you want to use for your scripts, that we use for integration with our storage devices. And so Windows Server, for example, uses this, Server Manager. We've got some ISV and storage partners that are using SM API, and in Virtual Machine Manager. There's two ways that we use SM API. Whatever ships in box from the methods that ship in box, that's what we use today for storage automation. And that, for that, we have multiple ways of partners plugging in. So there are partners that build SMP providers. Storage Space is actually an SMP provider that plugs into SM API. And then we also have partners that build SMIS compliant devices. And so we also use pass-through. So the way that we're able to go beyond the capabilities of SM API, for example, managing fiber channel fabrics, managing replication, without waiting for a Windows vNext release, is that we actually use pass-through. So SIM pass-through allows us to talk directly to the underlying provider, and that's how we enable replication, NAS management, and also fiber channel switch management. But all of this is through the consistent SM API layer. So one of the to set all of this up to get storage into VMM, first you have to go through discovery. So in the fabric space, in the fabric workspace, there is a add storage devices. In add storage devices, you can tell us what type of device you want to add. So in this case, for the replication demos, I'm adding a SAN device managed by SMIS. In that case, we go off and discover the system, get all of its properties, get all of its capabilities, storage pools, and this essentially gives us a high-level understanding of the device itself. Once we know that, So once we know the pools that are on the device itself, we then need to bring one or more under management. You don't have to bring the entire device under management. You can select a particular pool that might be just for your Hyper-V environment or just for replication. So once you select your pool, given it a classification, we go and enumerate all of the LUNs. So if you have a VMAX array or a 3PAR with 10, 20,000 LUNs, we don't actually bring them all in. We'll only bring in the LUNs for the pools that are under management. And at that point, we bring in all of the masking sets. So we know for all the LUNs that are available, which ones are actually unmasked to an initiator. If we manage the Hyper-V host, obviously we can tell you the end-to-end connection, but if it's a VMware host or a physical server, we'll at least tell you the initiators that it's attached to. We can't tell you more about the machine itself. And then you can then allocate pools or LUNs to a host group. So if you have a business group that wants to use storage for rapid provisioning or for large VDI deployments, you can actually take one of the pools and dedicate it directly to that host group. Or if you have LUNs already created, you can then also allocate them to the host group. And then the part that Carson did show is the allocation of the LUN to the, or the assignment of the LUN to the Hyper-V cluster. All right, so replication groups, or consistency groups, as they're also referred to. When you have one app, one VM with one VHD, right? The consistency is but there's nothing to be consistent because doesn't have multiple disks. So if you're replicating a LUN with one VHD, all of the data streams over to the secondary site. There's no need to ensure that multiple LUNs are consistent with each other as part of failover. Now, for enterprise level applications where you might have multiple LUNs, multiple applications, and in multiple VMs, you want to ensure that the data actually gets to the secondary site in a way that's consistent so that your application fails over consistently from a data perspective. So if you have three LUNs today and you don't put it in a replication group, essentially the data will start replicating and there's no guarantee that that group of LUNs will have a consistent view on the secondary site. So what you do with a replication group, you group them together, the array will guarantee that all of the data is actually streamed over to the other side consistently. All right, so this is something that's offloaded to the array. It's not necessarily handled by Windows. Once the array has a replication group and it's streaming over to the other side, when a failover happens, you're guaranteed that for that group of data, you've got consistent view. So as part of this integration, we actually have to start automating the creation of those replication groups, both on the primary and the secondary site. So what you saw with Carson is that he created a replication group, added one LUN, but you can have multiple LUNs in that replication group. When you enable protection in ASR, ASR and VMM will actually go and create LUNs on the secondary site. And this actually, for some partners, it's actually handled by the provider. The LUNs are created on the secondary site, they're grouped into an RG, and then replication's enabled. At this point, I don't have any VMs, but the data, anything you put on the LUN from now on, will start getting consistently replicated to the secondary site. Another approach, let's say that you want to preset everything up, create the LUNs, create the RGs. You have the flexibility of creating the LUNs through VMM, adding them into an RG, and then in ASR telling us map this replication group to the destination replication group, and then we'll pair them and start replication. So there's two ways of actually enabling this. Now, once I have replication enabled and I'm going to deploy the workload, we've enhanced our intelligent placement algorithms to understand that if you need a virtual machine with protection, ASR protection, DR protection, we will only show you hosts that have access to the LUNs that are actually in a replication group that are currently protected. So that's where you get the star ratings. Right, so if you don't ask for protection, we will guarantee that none of those VMs land on this storage. The assumption is that this storage is important and high value, and we only want to land VMs that need that protection. So once you've told us we need these VMs protected, you told us a replication group, we'll go off and find the hosts and the LUNs and everything else, and then you can go off and start deploying your virtual machine. Now, once this VM is deployed on this virtual machine, all the data will start replicating. But we need the ability to reserve capacity on the secondary site to ensure that the failover will be it'll be a good failover. So we've introduced a new feature in VMM called a database-only virtual machine. And so this DB-only VM only exists in the context of VMM. If you go to the Hyper-V hosts on the secondary site, you won't actually see a VM. The reason for that is that the LUNs on the secondary site are currently masked. So they're hidden from the Hyper-V hosts. So there's no way for us to get the configuration or the VHDs on the secondary, but we still need the ability to reserve the capacity. So that's why we introduced a DB-only VM. So another way of protecting a virtual machine, let's say you have existing virtual machines deployed and you want to bring them into this environment. So instead of redeploying the virtual machine, essentially, you can enable protection as part of migration. So in the VM migration wizard, you can say, I need protection for this VM. You pick your replication group. Placement will go find the hosts and the LUNs, and then you can start migrating your VM over. And at that point, all the data will start moving over. Okay, so let's switch over to the next demo, and I'll call over Pavel Lovanov from NetApp.
Hello. So basically, nice thing about SMI is that it's pretty much same interface and same pretty much experience whenever you configure EMC or NetApp. I'll show you how NetApp storage is presented in System Center Virtual Machine Manager. So we have three providers. If you click on properties of one of those providers registered with SCVMM, we can see that it's NetApp. But as my colleague from EMC pointed, if you click to replication groups, we can actually see what kind of replication groups already pre-created for this specific provider. Right now, we have three replication groups, but I want to show you, if you click on VM and services for cloud, actually, we can see two virtual machines already deployed in the cloud using those replication groups. Let's go, let's switch to Azure. And when you click on NetApp Primary Cloud, you can see two of those replication groups showing up in a cloud. And one of those replication groups, if we're going to expand, we're going to see two of those VMs already pre-created. So experience of creating replication group is... So let's take a look at how we can create recovery plans. So you go and click on create recovery plan. You give a name. Let's say it's NetApp recovery plan. Source, in this case, we're going to choose London, and target is Amsterdam. You select Sun. It's going to let us choose which virtual machines we want. As you remember, we are using primary replication group, and we have two of those virtual machines available. So we're going to select both of them, and by clicking, we're going to have this NetApp recovery plan created. It's going to take a little while to get this plan created, and replication starts between source and destination. Meaning that in case of NetApp, actually snap mirror, which NetApp technology to replicate data between sites, gonna start replicating data to a remote site. And we already have one of our replication group recovery plans pre-created. As you can see, what we have, you can actually split your virtual machines into different subgroups within a recovery plan. And also, if you need additional processing, you can add scripts which can run before virtual machine failing over to another site or post failover script. And right now, since we already have, we're going to do actual failover. First of all, I want to point you that we have three types of failover here. And those failovers will use different pieces of replication technology on EMC or on NetApp. For example, test failover, that's where you want to test actual failover before it's going to happen, meaning that it's not going to make any changes to your actual virtual machines, but it's going to pre-create test machines on another side and use snapshots and clone technology in case of NetApp. And also, you have two types of failover. Planned failover, when you actually do planned failover, which is going to take state of your virtual machine up to the point failover happening, or unplanned failover, which is going to, of course, not exactly up to the point when site went down. And let's do planned failover, just see what's going to happen. So failover direction, we are doing from London to Amsterdam, and you just confirm it. So right now, failover is in progress. It might take a little while because a lot of things happening on the background. In case of planned failover, as I said, we need to replicate last up to minute changes to a remote site. It's gonna bring virtual machine in source location down, and when replication of hard drives, virtual disks complete, is going to bring virtual machine up. Status of this job you can see in a jobs folder, and when it's done, you will see that you can actually refer to System Center Virtual Machine Manager console on source and on target, and make sure that target destination have your virtual machine up and running. And I'm going to bring Hector to continue talking through this technology.
All right, thank you, Pavel. So for the workload failover, the key pieces to keep in mind here as far from an automation perspective, you've got LUNs unmasked to Hyper-V host on primary. If you're doing a planned failover, that means you want everything to be shut down in a way that is consistent from an application perspective. It's clean. It's a clean shutdown on primary before you actually initiate failover. So that's essentially what happens. We remove the VMs from Hyper-V. We mask the LUNs from the Hyper-V hosts. We ensure that the data is fully synchronized, so all of the data from the primary is over on the secondary. At that point, we fail over the RG, replication group. Once it's failed over, this site can no longer be live. Right? You'd have to fail back and bring this back up. But once this is failed over, the intent is that now you're going to unmask these LUNs into the secondary site. So once we know that the RG has been failed over, we bring the LUNs online. At that point, we have the XML files. We can register them into Hyper-V. We start up the VM. And if it's in a replication plan, there's a proper order in which the VMs are started. Now you have the ability, if everything is good on the secondary site, you now have the ability to reverse your replication, and any data changes made on the secondary will now flow to the primary. If you want to bring the VMs back, you essentially repeat the same process, just in the other direction. Okay? Now, in an unplanned failover, the assumption is that the primary site is down. Power outage, natural disaster, something could have happened. So at some point, the replication flow will break. Right? We will not make any assumptions on the primary site about its current state, aside from if we can communicate with it, we will not allow you to do an unplanned failover. The assumption is that communication is broken, the site is down. Okay? So once the site is down, we will initiate failover actually from the secondary site. We will tell this array, fail over this replication group, which essentially, now that the synchronization has been broken, will fail over the RG. In this case now, if you think about an unplanned case, both RGs are considered primary or considered source of replication groups because we have not made any changes to the primary site. So the arrays will protect against maybe if this array comes back, if there was some outage that you finally recovered from. Once the array is back and it starts to try to replicate, the array will block this because now the primary is a secondary site. So that replication relationship is broken. It would have to be repaired if you want to reconfigure your environment, but the assumption is that you're failing over. Now that the RG is primary on secondary, same flow, we will then unmask the LUNs and bring the VMs back online. So another feature we added that's part of with HyperArray Replica, we wanted to ensure that we had the same capability here, is test failover. So this one's a little bit more complicated because we're not actually using Replica to clone the VM. We're actually using snapshot and cloning on the array to clone all of the VHDs. So essentially what we do is on the secondary site that's currently in a replication relationship, we will take that RG and create a clone. So once we clone that RG, the replication group, we will unmask it to another set of hosts. We'll bring up the VMs in an isolated environment. You can run all of your tests, guarantee that the application does fail over correctly. And then once that's done, you say, when you're done with test failover, we'll go off and clean that environment. So without affecting your primary site, while you're replicating, you can actually do a test failover, and we're leveraging all of the capabilities of the SAN to do that. So with this, I'm going to bring up Abhishek back, and he'll show a guest cluster failover.
All right, thank you, Hector. Yeah. So one of the feedback that we received with Azure Site Recovery earlier was a lot of customers are running complex multi-VM applications that, as Hector mentioned, need protection to the same point in time, which replication groups now enable. And one common scenario of that is you're running a SQL guest cluster. SQL is probably your backend for most applications that you're deploying in your enterprise. So these SQL VMs are clustered. They might have a shared storage that they're using. It could be an iSCSI disk, an FC disk, or a shared VHDX as well. So what we'll do in a quick demo is show you how with this technology, now you can fail over with Azure Site Recovery, with SAN replication, a SQL cluster with a shared storage. So let me switch to my demo machine. All right, so I have another cloud called Contoso Primary. So we've already set up the relationship between the primary site and the Contoso secondary site. And we have two virtual machines that are running over here. So there's a SQL cluster node 1 and a SQL cluster node 2. And we'll show you what storage that's actually running on. So I'm running these two VMs are attached to four disks. One of them is hosting the OS VHDs, and you have two iSCSI LUNs, which are my data disks, and one of them, which is my quorum disk for that SQL cluster. So if I go back into my recovery plan, so you see those same two VMs showing up and protected using Azure Site Recovery and replicating. So if we go into a recovery plan, we have a recovery plan to fail over this application. So it will do exactly what Pavel was showing earlier. We have two VMs that it will shut down those VMs. It will flush the last deltas across to the other side, bring the LUNs online, and boot up the VMs on top of it. In addition to that, you see what we have is a script that we run inside this recovery plan. This is a PowerShell script that runs on-premises on the secondary VMM server. And what this does is it will actually inside the guest, connect to the guest VM and make sure that the iSCSI LUN that I failed over is registered back into the VM and is mounted as a shared disk so that SQL can start booting up and working correctly. So we'll go ahead and fire that failover right now, and we'll come back to that later. So we'll click on the SQL cluster failover, and as we mentioned, we can do both planned failovers and test failovers. In this case, we'll go ahead and trigger a planned failover forward. One of the other things to take care of, and it's been a great feature in Azure Site Recovery, is the capability to do network mapping. So when you're failing over the SQL cluster, you need to make sure that the cluster comes up correctly on the other side. You need to make sure that the cluster's name network is correct and the VMs are getting attached to the right network. So we already had a feature in Azure Site Recovery to do network mapping between the primary site and the secondary site. And we leverage the same feature with the SAN replication integration as well. So you can do network mapping between the two networks. And so once we fail over the VMs on the secondary side, we'll ensure all the VMs that are part of the cluster get the right IP address, and then the cluster can come up accurately. Let me show you. This is a failover that I ran early in the week, and this shows you the view that it looks at. So this is a job view that I'm showing you over here right now, and it shows all these steps that happen when I'm failing over a SQL cluster. So SQL cluster, the two networks that are failing over, these are the two scripts that will run, and eventually it will finish, and the VMs will come up across on the other side. A quick look at the script that we run. So there's sort of three main steps that we do. We make sure that the guest VM, once it gets booted up on the other side, gets registered with the iSCSI LUN. We make sure that the iSCSI targets are connected, and then we bring the disks online. And that's it. It's about 30, 40 lines of script that will enable you to now do SQL test cluster failovers. One more thing that we want to announce in this session is that we also are announcing this week the availability of PowerShell SDK for Azure Site Recovery. So all the operations that you're seeing in the Azure portal performing, you can also now do it from PowerShell. So all the failovers, creation of recovery plans, and all of that will be available with Azure Site Recovery as well. We have a session following this at 5 p.m. for my colleague, session 319, where we can talk more about this. So this is an example of a script that could do the same. So let me switch back to the slides over here. All right, so a quick recap of the recovery plan feature. This is probably the crown jewel of the Azure Site Recovery solution, and this is a very consistent experience whether you're doing site-to-site DR with SAN replication, with Hyper-V Replica, or doing DR to Azure with Hyper-V Replica and ASR. So we give you orchestrated steps for recovery. You can sequence in which groups these VMs will come up. You can integrate them with the scripts. So I showed you an example of a script. And in some cases, you might need to actually do some manual actions. So you can also insert manual actions in those as part of your recovery flow, and then be able to ensure that your applications will come up correctly. So if in the beginning of the talk, I mentioned about having a fully orchestrated, automated recovery plan, this is what enables you to do it across any scenario, across any application that you might be running. You might be running an application that is tier one. With SAN replication, now you get that capability. You want to do DR to Azure with some of these capabilities, you get the same across Azure Site Recovery. All right, so next let's talk about how do you get access to these capabilities and what are the prerequisites and the software requirements to achieve this. So Hector initially talked about the VMM update rollup. So one of the things you'll notice with this is update rollups are not only about bug fixes or hot fixes, we're actually shipping new features and new capabilities as part of these update rollups. So in November, you will have VMM UR5 preview available. It will fully support upgrades from VMM UR4, which was available starting yesterday, or VMM UR3, which you probably might have already deployed in your environment. And in January, you'll have the full version of UR5 available, and will support upgrade from preview to that as well. So in terms of requirements, you will need VMM System Center 2012 R2 UR5 preview. We currently support this on Windows Server 2012 and 2012 R2 Hyper-V hosts. The Azure Site Recovery integration with SAN replication, all of the UX, will be available publicly middle of November. With that update, you'll also receive a newer version of the ASR provider, which you need to install on VMM, so that will be a requirement. And we have partners here, and also partners like HP and Hitachi who are demoing in the booth area. You need to obtain the latest SMS providers from the partner and deploy that as part of your storage management. So UR5 preview, latest version of the ASR provider, all the portal experience and the service will be available, whatever you are seeing, middle of November, and get the latest SMS providers from your partner. All right, so if you were to summarize basically what this means for Azure Site Recovery in terms of providing business continuity for you, the way you should look at it, this is now one solution that protects your entire infrastructure. You could be running VMware, or you could be running Hyper-V. Now with Azure Site Recovery and our InMarch technology, you get coverage across all of that. We showed you, Carsten showed you capabilities that with technologies like SRDF and EMC, you have synchronous replication. So now you can use that as part of your DR requirements if that's what you wanted to use. We showed you that you can now fail over SQL clusters. So if you want enterprise class applications, you want to protect your SQL clusters, your SAP applications, SharePoint, et cetera, you want multi-VM protection, you get that with Azure Site Recovery. As you mentioned, shared storage, if you have raw devices, iSCSI LANs or FCLANs, you can protect that. Guest clustered environments and group consistency, all of that is now part of Azure Site Recovery. And the flexibility is what we want to talk about. Same experience enables you to do either site-to-site DR or site-to-Azure DR. And based on your requirements, you can choose what you want to do. In the follow-up session, that's at 5 p.m., my colleague will show you how hosters can use this to do DR into their environments as well. So a very low TCO DR solution for any cloud that you might be deploying or using as part of your infrastructure. And the key thing, as Hector mentioned in the talk, all of this is brought to you from the same consistent unified experience from the Azure portal. It's management from the cloud, management for the cloud, and you're getting one solution for your entire infrastructure to do disaster recovery. All right, so we'll begin to wrap up. So we took a quick look of all the Microsoft disaster recovery solutions. You saw our partners show this integration that they have done to protect and recover virtual machines, and the SMIS-based, standards-based underpinnings on which this entire technology is based. The UR5 preview will be available middle of next month, and we are also running an early technology adoption program. So if you're interested to try out, give us feedback and partner with us. The product group will work closely with you. So if you're interested in signing up for that program, you can email either me, that's my email address, abhiag@Microsoft, or you can email hector@microsoft.com, and we'll get you enrolled into our program so that you can give us feedback. So we have, as I mentioned, we have a lot of focus on business continuity at this decade. So there's a list of sessions that we have. As I mentioned, immediately following this is another session that's focused on how hosters can use this technology, and we'll have other sessions tomorrow and through the week as well. So I will encourage you all to check that out. So that's all we had in terms of content. We have about 15 to 16 minutes left. We'll open it up for questions. We have our partners and across, and we'll be happy to take questions at this point of time. There's a microphone, so we'll encourage you to step up and ask a question. Otherwise, you could just shout it out, and we'll repeat the question for you.
Mike? Yeah, one piece I'll mention is with UR5 preview, if you sign up as part of the TAP, we will also extend production support to you as well. So if you want to test out the bits, you can, once it's available, you can download UR5. But if you actually like the technology and you have a need for it today, we can, as part of the TAP, we can go into and extend production support for your existing environment. You will have an upgrade path from UR4, UR5 preview, and then UR5 RTM. Just that one piece, yes. Is the mic here working in the front? There you go.
I wanted to ask, maybe I wasn't listening, if both synchronous and asynchronous replication is supported by, is it dependent on the storage vendor or is this universal?
So it's dependent on the storage array that you're using. So if the storage array supports synchronous replication, then you can use that. If it supports asynchronous, then you can use that. Carsten, you want to add to that?
That's a really great presentation. So can we have a scenario for the orchestration of, like, having the best of two worlds of the Hyper-V replica and the SAN replication? Can we have this under same replication, or same orchestration?
So I'm going to say yes, it's possible. So what you cannot do is you cannot mix as part of the same recovery plan both a replica VM and a SAN VM. But what you can do is you can have two recovery plans. And as I just announced, we are also announcing the PowerShell SDK. So you can, you know, basically call two recovery plans as part of your Uber workflow and achieve that failovers as well. It's a great question, yes. Other questions?
They are so excited. They're going to go. They're going to go home right now and wait for the downloads. All right.
All right. So one last call out. You know, please fill the evaluation forms. Give us feedback. What you liked. What you did not like. And we'll make sure we keep improving this for the next sessions as well. Really appreciate everyone's time. Thanks to our partners at EMC and NetApp for their time. Thank you, audience, for your time. Hope you all have a great decade. Thank you.
Thank you.